and welcome to Swiss Info for July the 22nd. I'm Dale Bechtel. Okay, is everybody ready? Instruments tuned? Before we get to work, I'll let the musicians continue their fine-tuning while I'll explain what today's show is all about. The theme is summer jobs. My apologies for reminding you of the workplace if you're listening to this during your summer break. But in this week's program, I'm going to talk to three people who have very special summer jobs. The first is a man who's done the same work, if you can call it that, each summer for the past 21 years. Another person I'll be speaking to is only the second ever to do this kind of work. Two of the three summer jobbers are not Swiss, but the third is more Swiss than most Swiss. In fact, you could say he's the archetypal Swiss. But before we introduce him, here's some trivia about the Swiss workforce. You're likely aware that the watch industry here is the biggest in the world. But did you know that only 70 people are employed on average per watch manufacturer? In total, 40,000 people work at the country's 600 watch companies. Join me now as I go to a mountain village where no watch is required, because in this place, time has stood still. Let's go into the local grocer's to meet our first summer jobber. I'm here in Axel, which is a mountain village high above Lake Brienz in the Bernese Oberland, and I'm here to speak to Peter Ruby. That's how I say your name, isn't it?
In Swiss dialect, we say Peter Ruby.
As we can see, you run the local shop, which you sell just about everything. You're a general retailer on a relatively small scale, because this is a small place.
And I sell almost everything that's sold in a big shopping mall.
So anything that I would need if I was up here on holiday for a week or two. But you also have another job, don't you? A summer job.
I'm playing William Tell in Interlaken at the Tell Freilichtspiele.
You actually do look a lot like William Tell, at least the images in our head of William Tell. You've got a long beard, you're quite a robust individual. Did you get hired because of your look, or did you grow the beard, for example, so that you could play the part?
I had my beard already before I was playing William Tell, and about my size, it just growed. I can't do anything. On me, everything is real, even the weight.
How long have you played William Tell?
I'm playing already for 20 years the William Tell. This is the 21st season I'm doing.
How many performances does that add up to?
All the characters are occupied by two persons in the Tellspiele in Interlaken. We play each summer about 20, 22, 23 performances. And I play 50%. That means I played about 220 times. I played a shoot on the apple.
You're just doing this for fun?
It's a hobby. We get paid 5 francs per rehearsal and 20 francs per performance. And I get about 500 francs per summer.
What do you enjoy most? You've been doing it for so long. Obviously, you like doing this because you're not getting rich from it.
Actually, it's not playing the William Tell exactly, but just being part of the Tell Theatre in Interlaken and being part of this big family.
I can imagine that the favourite scene must be when you shoot the apple off of your son Walter's head.
Actually, I like those scenes all. Sure, the shooting the apple and shooting the Gessler, that's the two scenes everybody knows. But the other ones, they belong to the theatre. And you have to play them all.
What have you learned about the character of William Tell?
You can use it from anything and for any argument, for something, against something.
You mean a political argument?
Any political, any social.
He's often portrayed as a freedom fighter. Do you see that in William Tell?
But he's also a killer. He's also a family father. As I said, he's a killer. He's a revolutionary.
There are two of you playing William Tell, and you share the role. Who's better at shooting the apple off the head?
I think he is better in shooting the apple.
But you don't really have to shoot an apple off of the boy who plays your son off of his head, do you?
Yes, of course you shoot the apple off. You have to. It's just training and training and training.
Oh,
Peter Ruby has to deal with some French tourists who probably don't realize they're buying snacks from William Tell. Let's let him take care of business while we return to some Swiss work trivia. Did you know that there are only about 160 cheesemakers who produce authentic Emmental cheese, or Swiss cheese as it's known in North America? Most of these little dairies only employ a handful of people, and summer is their busy season, so no holiday for them. In contrast, Swiss banks have around 100,000 people working for them worldwide. Let's go back to the Alps, this time the eastern border with Austria and Italy. I've got an American by the name of John Harlan on the phone. Can you describe your summer job? What are you doing this summer?
Oh, just a little thing like walking around Switzerland, following the southern borders reasonably closely. The southern borders being the hard ones. I already did last October as my autumn job, paddling the Rhine River and then bicycling around Schaffhausen and then through the Jura Mountains and Lake Geneva. So this summer I'm doing the hard part, going up and down over endless chains of mountains.
Okay, so I should admit I did know what you were doing, because you're trying to circumnavigate or circle Switzerland by following its borders. And anyone to the Swiss Info website is aware of that, because they've been seeing your daily diary posts about your trip. What's the hardest part of the job, if we can call it a job?
Hardest part of my job might be missing my family, because I've never been away for 3 months. I've been away for a month at a time, but once I start pushing back past the month, I think I'm going to start missing them.
Okay, so this job could end up ending your marriage.
Well, I hope my marriage is stronger than that.
What are the nice parts, or the nicest aspects of your work?
Scenery is just spectacular. I love seeing the Alps and all the different permutations, from being up high looking down across the valleys from range across range, and also being down low in the green and looking up. That's actually even prettier. The different peoples I'm meeting along the way, the change of languages.
Can you tell me, have you ever, you're a writer and a climber, have you ever had a normal summer job? And I don't know how to define normal, but what you would think of as being normal.
There was 2 years maybe where I spent in an office, and the office was editing other people's work. I was working for Backpacker Magazine, and the office was editing stories about backpacking around the world. But otherwise, in the summer, I'm always out. My work is writing. My work is editing also, and some guiding and things that take me outdoors, generally into the mountains.
Okay, when we look at this summer job, if we can call it that, could you say, or would you think that the hard work is really going to begin when you complete this border adventure? Because then you've got to get back and write a book that you're planning.
That is hard work. When I'm going up and down, I'm thinking that's a pretty darn hard. But then when I'm sitting at my desk at my computer and spending hour upon hour, day after day, week after week, typing on the computer, then there's nothing I'd rather be doing than be back on the border humping up one of these hills.
In John's attempt to follow the Swiss borders on foot, he's avoiding all use of cable cars, mountain railways, and the like to get up and down the mountains. Tracks and suspended steel cables are a common feature of the Swiss alpine landscape. There are about 9,500 people working to operate all of the gondolas and trains and provide customer services. That was our Swiss work fact number 3. If you were wondering earlier what live concert we were preparing to attend, let's talk to Connor Lennon and find out how his job is connected to it. Connor, it sounds like you're working in a concert hall somewhere. Let me guess, you're either in Geneva or Zurich. Which is it?
Neither, and it's not Lucerne either. It's a ski resort, which sounds a little odd. But the Verbier Festival has been going here for quite some time now with great success. They started in tents, but now we've got this magnificent Salle des Combats. It's a temporary structure, but you wouldn't know it from looking at it. It looks like a fully functioning concert hall, over 1,000 people.
Okay, well, let me stop you there. What are you doing there?
I mean, because you're working there, you're doing something. Are you a concert performer?
I wish. A dream when I was younger, but no. I started up a radio station for Verbier. It's actually the first tourist radio station in the whole of Switzerland. We broadcast in English. We're here throughout the year. We actually started in January and we covered the winter season. And we said, well, if we're going to do summer, what would be the event to cover in Verbier? And there's only one choice. It's the Verbier Festival.
And briefly describe the festival. How long is the festival? And is it just classical music, or you know, what are the offerings? What kind of performances can you go and see?
It lasts for 17 days. It is dominated by classical music, but it's not only classical music. There's something that's been evolving called the Festoff. Now, the Festoff is a selection of free events which take place around Verbier and the wider Verbier-Saint Bernard region as well. It includes circus performers. It includes jazz. These wonderful things they're doing called cultural rambles, where you go up in the ski lift to the mountains and you come across people performing and playing jazz.
Wow, sounds like you've got a great job working up there at the festival and interviewing all of those people. You mentioned the Festoff, and you've had a chance to interview some of the performers at the Festoff part of Verbier Festival. Maybe we could just listen to a little montage of you having some chats with them.
My name is David Garrett. I am a classical violinist. I also love to play contemporary pop and rock songs on the violin.
And you've been referred to as the superstar violinist. You could be going anywhere around the world. I'm talking to two artists taking part in the Festoff, and this is the part of the festival which isn't classical music, it isn't jazz.
We got a pencil and a
wow,
and a t-shirt.
It's fantastic.
Many of these performers, their acts are very visual. They're not just musicians in all cases. How challenging is it to do justice to their performances on the radio?
It's not always the case that artists are good at explaining what they do, but we've been very lucky so far. All the artists we've had have been very passionate. They've been very good at describing what they do. And I see myself as being a bit like one of the tourists themselves as well. I'm like a tourist, but I'm in a privileged situation that I get access to all these wonderful people who are performing here.
That's a summer job many people would die for. As you said at the beginning, Verbier is a ski resort. What kind of people do they draw to the festival in summer? Is it the same kind of crowd?
Being here at the Verbier Festival, I've got to meet a very different face of Verbier than the people we meet in winter. As you can imagine, many of the people we meet they're quite young, they're very sporty, snowboarders, free riders. We had free rider working with us over winter as well. The people we're getting here in summer are older. I'd have to say wealthier as well on the whole. People who've got some of those mythical massive chalets that you hear about in Verbier, well, they do exist and they really are enormous chalets.
Thanks, Connor. I'm going to let you get back to work, if we can call it that. Have fun.
It is work, Dale. It is work. And if you think it's that great, come and help us next summer as well. We'd love to have you with us.
If you, our Swiss Info listeners, are interested in a summer job in Switzerland, you may want to know how much money you can expect to earn. According to the Federal Statistics Office, the average monthly salary is almost 6,000 francs. Due to the strength of the franc, or dollar weakness, however you want to look at it, that's more than 7,000 US dollars. It would have been only $5,000 4 years ago, or a paltry 3,500 back in 2003. You definitely get more bang for each buck, franc, you earn in Switzerland today. That's all we have time for in this week's show. Check out our website, swissinfo.ch, for comprehensive coverage of Swiss news and events, and to download this show as a podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel. That's my job done for today. Thanks for listening.